tell me, if I preached a sermon that had no gloom or doom and no bad news whatsoever, well, let me tell you first, I'll tell you this, it would be a lie, a big, fat lie. And it's been my experience. When God empowers one to preach His Word, then you had better don His full armor. His full armor. And equip yourselves with Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, which read, "For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Wow. That's what God's Word is. It's purified seven times. And the Lord God will preserve them from this generation forever. How long is that? Who is it that keeps His words? It's forever and it's God. God Himself. Does God make mistakes? Is God a liar? Stay tuned. I've entitled my message, "If Only They Knew." If only they knew. Well, they will soon. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this another opportunity to bring forth a message, Lord, that's important to the hearts of everyone who hears it, Lord, whether they be saved or not, but mostly for those, Lord, who are standing on the precipice, are on the edge of eternity, cannot make up their minds, Lord. If they only knew, if they only knew. Lord, may their ears be open today, and may they fully understand what is said. And if they're not sure about their salvation, Lord, that they will examine themselves according to God's Word. O Lord, Thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. Amen. You know, when you attend a church that's filled to the rafters with so-called believers week after week, there are two main reasons why this is so. Two main reasons. First of all, one is because they like the music. They like the music. And the other is because they are never called sinners. They are never called sinners. Now, this is not my conclusion. Oh, no. Take a trip, if you will, across this great nation, North America, or around the world, to the south, to the north, it doesn't matter. Remember the Bible Belt? It went through too many loops and turns. Finally gave way to greed and error. Greed in that too many pastors want a mansion and a jet plane. And too many different Bibles that could never agree. Where there's greed, people, you'll always find confusion. And confusion is Satan's number one ally. Yes, it is. You know what? There's over 400 Bibles out there in the market today. How'd that happen, you wonder? Oh, well, I must go shopping for a Bible. Well, maybe I'll find one that I can trust. Maybe one that doesn't tear me apart and make me feel rotten and lousy. Sure. I'll just go shopping, and I'll choose from those 200-plus Bibles out there. Oh, I wouldn't want to be doing that today. You know, I personally use the King James Authorized 1611, come out of Antioch. That's the one I trust and believe in. I pray you will also. But anyway, that's another sermon. That's another sermon. How does one overcome the power of greed? Did you ever think of that? And the confusion of confusion. Through much prayer. Through lots of prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. You know what? There's power in prayer. I know that I can speak personally. I can speak personally. And prayer is our greatest weapon against confusion. Did you know that believers were called Christians first at Antioch? Not in Alexandria. A lot of people get Bibles that come out of Alexandria. Believers were called Christians first in Antioch. Oh, yes. Now, this might be a bit hard to swallow, but the King James 1611 says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." That's in Romans 3, verse 4. As for being a sinner, well, look at Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. No, there's not a single one out there filled with enough righteousness to get into glory without coming to Christ, through Christ, believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a one. None righteous. No, not one. I suggest that both of these scriptures, both of them, be inscribed across the pulpits of every megachurch in North America. These are words not only to live by, but to die for. To die for. Do you know why Joel Osteen is one of the richest preachers in America today? I did not say Bible preachers. It's because he does not offend his congregation by calling them sinners. That's why. You see, there are no sinners in Joel's eyes. But there's lots of cash in Joel's bank account. You get the picture? Did you know that when Jesus walked the earth, he offended just about everyone he met? Why? Why is that? He called them sinners. And he got away with it. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And the time of his end upon the earth had not yet come. Even though those who rallied against him as he went about doing good, he continued on. This, what he was here for, to deliver the plan of salvation, to glorify God. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Whoa. And when he hung on the cross in our place for our sins, among his last words, he said, now get this, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Wow. What did Jesus mean when he said, "They know not what they do"? Was he saying they didn't know what they were doing? They didn't know how to crucify someone? Was he talking about those who hammered him to the cross? No. They knew exactly what they were doing. And at another time, when Jesus called them scribes and Pharisees, blind guides and hypocrites, was he just name calling? Was he just name calling? Being a bully? No. Jesus never called anyone by what he saw on the outside. Never. He always called them by what he saw on the inside. The Word of God tells us that God always, always looks upon the heart. Everything God needs to know is in the heart. In the heart. There are many places in Scripture where the human heart is brought to issue. For example, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And from John 14, one of my favorites, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The words that Jesus spoke. Jesus was acknowledging himself as God. He added that if you see him, if you see Jesus, the Son, then you actually are seeing the Father. That he and the Father, now get this, are one. He and the Father are one. Wow, that excites me. I don't know about you. Now, this may be difficult for those with a weak faith to grasp onto, but for us who reach out to our daily Savior, or to our Savior daily, that's no problem. It's no problem. When I was a child growing up in Catholicism, a priest told me he was the vicar of Christ. He said that the only way to have my sins forgiven was to tell them all to the priest and do penance. Tell them all to the priest and do penance. Whatever my priest told me, I had to believe. Or else I would surely, surely go to hell. I was in my mid-40s when my life fell apart. Everything fell apart. I had come to the end of the line. I won't go into that story. That's seen in other messages that I bring to you. You discover what I went through in my life. And I think you'll find it very interesting. I was in my mid-40s. That's pretty old, isn't it? Late to come to Christ. I'm just glad I came to him in time. You know, I'm 75 now. It's been an exciting experience getting this far. But anyway, I came to the end of the line. But far better, I came, now get this, to the end of self. Of self. But thank God, when I went down for the count, Jesus was there to pick me up. To pick me up. He called me out of Catholicism and into the light of his presence. It was then I knew what God meant when he said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, what an exciting time it was. Well, over the years, I come to know and grow with my Lord, the Lord of my salvation. He was my guide, and still is. I had my weak moments over the years, because I'm still in the flesh. But I soon understood that God is not there just when I want him. But he's always inside of me, as the indwelling Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind. That's important. Still, being in this old flesh can sometimes be a real battle. And I often think of that battle, worn against my soul. Oh, yes, all the time. I know now why the Holy Spirit lives inside of God's children. It took me a while to really understand. It's to strengthen us, to give us direction when we are tempted by the evil one. There are even times when one might even doubt their faith. Oh, yes. And that's why we have 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, which says, Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. And here's a clincher, as Paul writes in verse 6. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Do you know you're not a reprobate? I know I'm not. Oh, I'm still a sinner, and I will be until I get out of this old flesh. But my sins are under the blood, under the precious blood, the atoning blood of Christ. There you have it. You can be a lot of things in life, you know, but you can't be a saint and a reprobate at the same time. No, you can't. So you're thinking, well, perhaps, well, I know I'm saved, but there are times when I feel like a reprobate. I know of none who have failed to be challenged in such a way. Oh, yes, we are. As long as we occupy this flesh, the battle will continue. Remember, there's never been a saint of God made of the flesh whose life is without trials. Never. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you don't know this, well, you will one day. Oh, yes. Pray, I tell you. Pray without ceasing. The Word of God tells us to keep on praying. Never stop praying. Now, I don't mean walk around all the time praying and closing your eyes or being on your knees. No, always be in an attitude of prayer. Okay? Over everything. Your home life, your job, your walk, everything. Be in an attitude of prayer. And that doesn't mean a quickie one-liner either. We are to always be in an attitude of prayer. Whether you're working, walking, driving, or flying, or playing catch in the backyard with the children. There are many professing to be Christians who insist they're truly born again, yet they go through the entire day with no reference at all to the one who saved them. Well, they'll say a prayer for me. They'll never say a prayer with me. You got that? I know a guy I play golf with. He'll say a prayer for me, but he'll never pray with me. Something missing there, huh? A link. I prayed with my son recently concerning things he needed to change in his life. And one thing he said struck in my mind. He said, God never seems to answer my most important prayers. So I'll just leave my prayer with him. Well, I told my son, I said, don't you see? That's your problem. That's your problem. You just leave your prayer with him. Like you would your dirty laundry with the cleaners. When he tells us to pray without ceasing, we are too quick and too impatient. Like watching our lawn grow. We want it to come up immediately. Or a tulip open its petals before it's time. People, I implore you, don't just pray a prayer and sit back and wait for God to answer. Keep on praying. Everything in its time. In its time. And if you don't receive the response you want, keep this in mind. Remember this. God knows the response you need. Yes, he does. You don't always get what you ask for, but you'll get an answer to your prayer, which is what God intended. If they only knew. That's the title of my message today, folks. And I'm going to leave these words with you. please take time whenever you can to go to my website, Till He Comes, Battle Site for Christ. Not only the sermons are there, but there's my personal testimony, how I got to know Christ. And there's lots of articles to read about salvation and the things that I went through and the things I learned about God. It's exciting, folks. May the mighty God of our salvation have mercy on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.